The book of Philemon tonight, we'll take our text verse out of the book of 2 Thessalonians tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Brother Jason, for helping me out tonight. This was not planned. Brother Chris got sick on us, and that old stomach bug's been running through his household. Rhiannon had it, and Jackson had it. And there's just a lot of people sick right now, but I thank God that you're able to be here tonight. Appreciate the prayer meeting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we've been preaching a series of messages that God birthed in my heart because of these verses of Scripture right here. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." That's my prayer tonight, that young'un over here will leave here with the peace of God. Amen. Then Paul said, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write." And then he said this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. Brother Eddie, in all these years of reading, I never realized that Paul signs out every one of his epistles with the grace of God. No wonder he could make statements like, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." No wonder he could say the grace, his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. Amen. No wonder tonight that Paul on the Damascus Road understood what the grace of God was all about. Amen. And that God touched his life. We've been preaching the last chapter of all of Paul's epistles, and we call the series The Importance of the Grace of God. Emily, are you all right, honey? Have you got peace? Praise God, sweetheart. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. I said hallelujah's right. Amen. God is still on the throne. I like what one old preacher said. He said, "All the young people ain't gone to the dogs." Amen. God's got a remnant coming up, and we need them. Amen. We need them. We need them. Tonight I'm in the book of Philemon. I want you to turn there with me, please. Before I knew better, I called him Philemon. But anyway, you learn some things along the way. Amen. The book of Philemon is a precious book. It's a letter written from Paul to a dear brother in Christ whose name is Philemon concerning a slave that Philemon owned whose name was Onesimus. And tonight I want to get into this and look at the importance of the grace of God in the life of Philemon. In the book of Philemon here, the Bible said, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Jump over to verse 23. We're going to be going through the book tonight. But I want you to see something here. "There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." Evidently at this time, Demas hadn't yet forsaken him. Amen. Having loved this present world. And then Paul said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Pray with me tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for these that have gathered in the house of God this evening. And Lord, I'm well aware tonight, Father, that I could be standing for my last time. I pray, God, you'd anoint us with the fresh oil of heaven. Help us to be a blessing to our people tonight. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, we're not worthy of your blessings, but we sure are needy. I pray, dear Father, tonight, You'd anoint the preaching of thy word, anoint the hearing of thy word. Help us, Lord, to be better servants when we leave than when we came tonight. God will give you glory. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. By the grace of God, I want to give you this first of all tonight. This is something that Paul reiterates over and over and over in his writings. But tonight it's in my heart in the book of Philemon to share it once again. It's by the grace of God that we have good helpers. Look what the Bible said here. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he called Philemon a dearly beloved brother and a fellow laborer. I thought that was I underlined that in my Bible. In the second verse, he said, Apphia and Archippus, or Archippus, however you want to say it, our fellow soldier. Amen. Aren't you glad we got some fellows alongside of us to help us, and we're not in this thing alone. Amen. A lot of people act like, beloved, they're in it alone. And there's times you might feel like Elijah, that you're in it alone. But God said, I've got 700 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. We're not in this thing alone. And Paul wants us to know it's by the grace of God he's got some good helpers. Not only a fellow laborer and a fellow soldier, but in verse number 23, he talks about Epaphras, a fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right there, evidently in the prison alongside of Paul. Amen. And no doubt, beloved, listen, he was a good man because Paul mentioned him. He said he's a fellow prisoner, but then he uses these three words, in Christ Jesus. It's one thing just to be a prisoner, but it's another thing to be a prisoner in Christ Jesus. Amen. I had the privilege those 10 years when I was going in the prisons to meet some men that were real. I'm talking about they really loved the Bible. They really loved the Lord. They really were soul winners. Amen. They really prayed for the preacher. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, some of y'all know some of the problems we had there in our home. And I could go back year after year after year and men walk up to me and say, Brother Rick, how's your daughter doing? I'm praying for her. I tell you, beloved, tonight that means the world, amen, to know that even in the prison, God can give us a laborer to labor alongside of us. And then he says again about Marcus and Aristarchus and Demas and Lucas, my fellow laborers. I say tonight it's by the grace of God that we have some good helpers along the way. Amen. And I appreciate that tonight. I really do. But I want to give you this tonight. Not only is it the grace of God, and we see the importance of the grace of God in the help that God gives us, but it's by the grace of God that we can hear some good things. How many likes to hear some good things every once in a while? Amen. I tell you, beloved, listen, you're not going to hear much good out of the New York Times. You're not going to hear much good on CNN. You're not going to hear much good on Fox News. You're not going to read much good in the newspaper. But I tell you, old Paul's fixing to hear some good news. I'll show it to you tonight. The Word of God said in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. I talked to Brother Coulter the other day. Hallelujah. I tell you, he's fired up and ready to go. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord working in his life. Look in verse 4. He said, I thank my God. This is what Paul is telling Philemon, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You want to be humble tonight. You walk up to somebody and they'll look at you and say, Pastor, I pray for you every day. That's humbling, beloved. Listen to me. Well, ain't none of us done nothing to deserve that. Amen. To know. I've had people say, why does God bless you the way he does? I said, go up and down these hills, go up and down these hollers, and you'll find people that's calling our name out to the God of heaven and saying, God help that boy. Amen. And I believe God answers prayer, don't you? Now watch verse 5. I'm talking about hearing some good things. He said, hearing, he's in prison. Paul's in prison. Philemon, he's not in prison. But Paul said, I heard something down here at the prison house. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. I like this. Don't tell me you love Jesus, but they some of them saints you don't love. I said, don't tell me you love Jesus, but they some of them saints you don't love. The Word of God said, I heard of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward, I like this word, all saints. How you like that? Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you don't have to agree with everybody to love everybody. Amen. But if you love Jesus, you'll love the saints of God. And you'll love sinners. Amen. And you'll be wanting to point them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he heard some good things. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging, I love this, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Can I say something to you tonight? Hey, listen, God's people, we shouldn't mind this tonight. Let me just say this to you. If there's any good thing about me, he's responsible for it. The Bible said every good thing that's in you, but then it uses these words, in Christ Jesus. Amen. I tell you, say, Pastor, I don't see everything in your life's good. Well, put that not good on my account. Amen. But everything that's good, put that on his account. Amen. Because he's responsible for it tonight. Amen. The Bible said, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Let me just say this tonight. It's in my heart. I didn't plan on saying this, but when he's talking about the bowels there, he's talking about the inward man. The inward man being refreshed. And let me tell you what's going on in a lot of religious circles today. The outward man's getting pumped up. That's all it is a bunch of flesh pumped up. Say amen. That's why you need strobe lights and smoke coming out of the stage and drums and rock music and all that mess. Amen. I got enough of that when I was lost. Amen. I don't need that anymore. I don't need this flesh ministered to. I need my inner man ministered to. And only the Spirit of God can do that. Amen. Paul said the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You know what that means? Philemon lived his life in such a way that others could get a drink from his well. Amen. Years ago, I heard a song and I liked it. You'd have to be old enough to remember the old timers using the percolator on the wood stove. But that coffee was so hot when it come off that wood stove that it would blister your mouth. Amen. It would blister your tongue. So they would pour it out in a cup, and then when they was going to drink it, didn't have time to wait on it, they'd tip that cup and pour it out in the saucer because it'd cool a little bit faster. And they'd take that saucer and they'd tip it up, amen. And somebody wrote a song, drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I tell you tonight, everybody in this house tonight, want to ask God to fill our cup so somebody might be able to get a sip from the saucer in our life, amen. Understand the grace of God. By the grace of God, we have good helpers. By the grace of God, we hear good things. You know, sometimes, I mean this tonight, sometimes you almost dread for the phone to ring. Sometimes you almost dread when it vibrates and there's a text message. Because it just seems like we're living in a troublesome world, where the troubles far outweigh sometimes the good news, amen. But every once in a while, beloved, listen, God will just give us some good news right on time. Say amen. God will give us some good news. I told you about preaching down at Liberty Baptist Church years ago. I preached a message and left on Sunday morning, and I felt like a dog with his tail tucked between his legs. I said, if that wasn't the biggest flop, the biggest bomb that I've ever seen in my life. 2 weeks later, a couple came in my office and said, Pastor, we need to talk to you. And come in my office and said, do you remember what you preached? Normally, I don't. But Brother Eddie, it was so bad I couldn't forget it. Amen. He said, you remember what you preached? I said, yes, I do. And I didn't know where we was going with it. Amen. He said, God used that message to spare our marriage. We had already talked about how we was going to divide it up. We was going to divorce. And God used that message to spare our marriage. I say hallelujah tonight. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, that God in His grace, beloved, listen, can look beyond our faults and see our needs. He can look beyond our faults and use us for His honor and for His glory. Let me give you this tonight. This is the last thing in the message tonight. Now, don't get all excited, amen. We might have 10 more minutes left in us. But I want to give you tonight the last thing God spoke to my heart about. By the grace of God, we have good helpers. By the grace of God, we hear good things. By the grace of God, we can help others. You see, this whole letter is designed to be a help. Paul's not talking about in this whole letter helping his fellow laborers. He's not talking about in this whole letter helping his fellow prisoner. He's not talking about in this whole letter helping his fellow soldier. He mentioned all those. He thanks God for his helpers, amen, in the ministry. But I tell you what God's going to do. He's going to help an old sinner that's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's what this whole letter is about, beloved. I'd like to know. I'll know when I get to heaven. But I'd like to know how in the world that I guess Onesimus, he stole from his master and run to Rome. I guess he had them old habits in Rome too. He got down there stealing from somebody and they must have locked him up. Amen. How'd you like to get locked up alongside of the Apostle Paul? Amen. I don't know if that's how it happened or not, but Paul's in prison. This is one of his prison epistles. Some way or another, beloved, he got the gospel to Onesimus. And Onesimus found a place to get off the highway of stealing and get off the highway of sinning and get on the highway of holiness. Amen. Onesimus found an exit ramp where he could get saved by the grace of God. Watch here how he's helping others. Wherefore thou, though I might be much bold in Christ, verse 8, to enjoin thee that which is convenient. He said, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. You know, I told you a while back, I can remember some of the old timers when they prayed. They didn't say the word beg exactly the way we say it. They were from the country. And they say, oh God, we beg you. Oh God, we beg you. You know what we need? We need more beggars in the church. We need more people begging God to help our country. Begging God to save our schools. Begging God to save our children. We need more people begging God for revival. Amen. We've settled in on our lees and we think it ain't going to happen. It ain't until somebody believes God and begs Him to do a work in our midst. But He said, I, for love's sake, rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged. But you know something? I just read this morning about old Caleb over there in the book of Joshua. I believe he was 80 years old. You know what he said? Anybody got my retirement check? Nah. He said, I want that mountain. That's that mountain God promised me back over yonder in the wilderness. And I want it, amen. His strength was not abated. He wanted the blessings of God even in his old age. Here's Paul. He ain't giving up. You see, he ain't over there in the prison sulking. Just read about him and Silas, amen. Down there in the Philippian jail. Amen. They wasn't over there sulking. He said, Silas, you remember the tune to Amazing Grace? Brother Ralph don't remember it, but Silas did. Amen. And Silas, he lit her up. Amen. And them boys sang and they praised God. And the prisoners, the Word of God said, heard them. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Didn't matter if Paul was young, Paul was old, or Paul's in the middle. After he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he's always trying to help somebody else along life's way. I'm going to tell you tonight, that ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our prayer tonight. we could help somebody else. Look at this now with me, please. He said, Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, I beseech you, there's that word again, for my son, Onesimus. There's only one thing you can make out of that. The Apostle Paul had led Onesimus to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I've told you this 100 times. I'm going to say it one more time. I think there's 2 dangers in the world today. One is God's going to do it all. And the other is I'm going to do it without God. That's not, neither one of them's right. Say amen. In other words, God needs a Paul. God needs a soul winner. Amen. That's why Jesus said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. And Paul's old, but he said, I ain't too old to work for God. I ain't too old to help somebody along life's way. I love this. Watch this now. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. I can only read that one way. Paul has been instrumental. God used him to help Onesimus to see the error of his way. Help Onesimus to see that there's a better way. I mean, he's glad you saw one day there's a better way. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a better way. There's a better way. He said, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. I want to give you in this helping others about 4 or 5 things real quickly. Number one, in verse number 11, there's a definite change. You know what I say about people that make a profession and their life never changes? There's something wrong. It don't line up with the Bible. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That don't mean, beloved, that they're a spiritual giant today after they got saved. But it means, beloved, God changed their life. And he begins to work in them to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Amen. And he's going to help them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. There's a definite change. He said in times past, Philemon, Onesimus was unprofitable, but now. How many is glad for a but now in your life? Hallelujah. I was headed to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I was guilty as a low-down hound dog, but now I've been forgiven. Amen. As a dirty sinner could be, but now I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, profitable to thee. Watch this. Paul said, and to me. Don't you want to wonder in verse like that, what's Paul talking about? I, you know what I believe? I believe even before Brother Mike that they let Onesimus out of jail, there was such a change in his life. His wanting to help that old man of God any way he could. You think about that. He said he's profitable to thee and to me. Amen. Now watch this. He said, whom I've sent again. This is all a letter. He's writing a letter to Onesimus' owner. Whom I've sent again to thee, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own vows. I want to give you this. I wrote down a definite change, but in verse number 12, I believe that Paul desires a chance. Sister Brenda is not here tonight. Nita, you can tell her what I'm about to say, okay? Her daughter works over at Arby's and in Colonial Heights. I went over there the other day when I was waiting on a prescription to get me a bite to eat because I had to eat in order to take the medicine. And she said, Pastor, she said, are you the pastor? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I didn't know who she was, but it was Brenda's daughter. She said, if you know anybody that's getting out of prison, said, send them my way. She's managing the place. You know why? She wants to give them a chance. Most of this world ain't interested in giving nobody a chance. Some of them, Brother Jason, won't give a young preacher a chance to preach. We want a seasoned man. Let me tell you something about every seasoned man. He had to start somewhere. Good night. Amen. And what Paul is saying is, Philemon, I've sent him to you again. Receive him. That is mine own bowels. I want you to give Onesimus a chance. You know what Paul was confident of? That he would prove it out. He had done seen enough in his life down there at the prison house. That he knew that Onesimus was going to be the same on the road back to Philemon, when he got to Philemon, after he met Philemon, as he was in the prison house after Jesus changed his life, whom I would have retained with me. In verse 13, Paul said here, I could have just kept him with me, that in thy stead. In other words, because you can't be here with me, he could have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. That backs up what I said a minute ago, isn't it? That I believe Onesimus was taking care of the needs of the Apostle Paul. We're talking about helping others now. He's wrote this letter. But watch this now. In verse number 14, we see a definite change in verse number 11. We see a desired chance in verse number 12. But in verse number 14, I see a deliberate choice. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at it. Paul said, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. You know how a lot of Christians are living their life? By chance. You know how God wants us to live our life? By choice. He's writing to Philemon. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to do this because you have to. I want you to do this willingly because you get to. Hallelujah. I tell you who the happy Christians are. They're not the ones that have to go to church. They're the ones that get to go to church. I tell you who the happy Christians are. They're not the ones that have to tell somebody about Jesus. They're the ones that get to. I tell you who the happy Christians are. They're the ones that don't have to give something to God in their tithe and their offering and their mission offering, but they get to. That's who the happy Christians are. Some people tithe and some people tip. You'll get that after a while. You know something I've realized lately? When you go in a restaurant and they give you all them, they give out three suggestions for a tip. Ain't none of them 10%. Somebody say amen. It probably starts at 15, then 17 or 18, 20, 21, something like that. You say, what do you tip? I don't. I tell Miss Eve, give them something. Make sure you give them one of them cards, amen? Go with it. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, it's a deliberate choice. What Philemon is going to do when Onesimus knocks on the door, it's not going to happen by accident. He's going to have to say, son, I've read this letter. There's been a change in your life. You've been down there helping that old man of God. Get on in here, son. Get on in here. Want to serve the Lord alongside of you. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that? Watch this now. He said, for perhaps, he's writing to Philemon, he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Watch this now. Paul said here, this is what I wrote down in the margin of my Bible. There's a definite change. There's a desired chance. There's a deliberate choice. But I wrote this in the margin of my Bible alongside of verse number 17. If thou count me therefore partner, receive him as myself. You know how I'm going to get to heaven? I'm going to tell you how. God the Father is going to look at God the Son, and he's going to receive me just like God the Son. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? When Jesus saved me, he imputed to me his righteousness. The songwriter got it right. He said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He sees me in garments as white as the snow, for the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me. This I know. I see a devoted Christian. You say, Pastor, who are you talking about here? I'm talking about Paul. He said, I want you to receive him. Listen, Philemon, just like it was me knocking on the door. And watch this. It goes deeper than this. He said, if he wronged thee or oweth thee aught, you want to see a picture of the grace of God. How many knows we wronged God and we owed a sin debt? There's some of the youngins over there. Matter of fact, a lot of them tonight have never heard of the second death. Death is not just this old body dying. Amen. There's a place called hell. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The word of God said death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tonight, beloved, listen. Paul said if he owes you anything, if he's wronged you, he said, put that on my account. I don't know how you could see a better picture of the grace of God anywhere in the Bible. God said, Jesus said to the Father, I know he owes you. And I know he's wronged you. But he said, Father, put that on my account. Amen. You say, Pastor, you believe that's a real Christian that's willing to step up like that? Yes, I do. Amen. Willing to take the place. Amen. Helping others. Then I'll give you this tonight, and I'm finished. He said, yea, brother, well, let me read verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. He said, I will repay it. Albeit, he said, let me remind you of something, Philemon. I do not say how much thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. You see, he's reminding Philemon, listen to me, every one of us are debtors. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Jew and the Greek. Every one of us are debtors. I've tried to use this illustration. Beloved, if I had the cure for cancer and somebody was leaving this world with cancer and I was unwilling to share it with them, I would be wicked. We don't have the cure for cancer, God's people, but we know the cure for sin. It was bought and paid for at Calvary. Amen. And Paul, he said, I've written it with mine own hand. I'll repay it. Albeit I do not say unto thee how much thou owest unto me, even thy own self beside. Verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. You know what I want to think, Brother Jason? I'm not going to speak where the Bible don't speak. But I want to think word got back to Paul. Said, you know what? You wrote that letter. Onesimus knocked on that door. Philemon read that letter. And he opened them arms just like the father of the prodigal son. And he received him right on into the house. Amen. And he loved on him. He didn't hold it against him. Aren't you glad we serve a God that don't hold it against us? Aren't you glad? Notice what the Bible said. There's a declared confidence in verse 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing, I love this. It would be great, I mean, if I wrote you a letter, Brother Jason, it would just be great to be able to say, I know, Brother Jason, you're going to do what I've asked you to do. That ain't what it says. He said, I know you're going to do more. You know, we ought to find that place in our life. A lot of God's people are looking for the minimum, and they ought to be looking for more. 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 More like Jesus. More to do for Jesus. The work of God. Some are running to it. Some are running from it. Amen. God's people ought to be looking for every opportunity they can. A declared confidence. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Verse 22. But withal, prepare me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto thee. Brother Adam, Paul is saying, I know you're praying for me, Philemon, and I'm going to trust that God's going to answer your prayer, and I'll get to knock on the door for long, get out of this old prison. I believe that was a great day around the table, don't you? I don't believe that Onesimus waited on Paul to get there to tell Philemon how it happened, but I do believe he rehearsed it when Paul got there. Amen. Said, thank you, man of God, for telling me about Jesus. Such a one as Paul, the aged. Salute Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The importance of the grace of God. Because of God's grace, we have good helpers. We can hear good news because of God's grace. And we can help others along the way because of God's grace. I've asked the Lord many times in my life to help me because I realized something years ago. I can't help you if he don't help me. I can't help others if he don't help me. It might sound like a selfish prayer, but I don't believe it is when the intent is to realize we're not the originator of this thing. We're just the channel for his blessings to run through. Amen. Years ago I heard an illustration, and I'm done, about why the Dead Sea is dead. It's dead because it has an inlet and it doesn't have an outlet. God's people, don't ever be guilty of that. Don't be guilty of just taking in and taking in and taking in. Man, give it out. There's a world out there lost in sin. Let's give it out. Let's give it out. Amen. Tell others. Help others along the way. How many's glad you come tonight? I appreciate you coming. I really do.